From the washroom nearby came the sound of running water and rattling basins. George studied the cards. "Maybe we ought to wash up," he said. "But we ain't done nothing to get dirty." A tall man stood in the doorway. He held a crushed Stetson hat under his arm while he combed his long, black, damp hair straight back. Like the others, he wore blue jeans and a short denim jacket. When he had finished combing his hair, he moved into the room, and he moved with a majesty only achieved by royalty and master craftsmen. He was a jerkline skinner, the prince of the ranch, capable of driving 10, 16, even 20 mules with a single line to the leaders. He was capable of killing a fly on the wheeler's butt with a bullwhip without touching the mule. There was a gravity in his manner and a quiet so profound that all talk stopped when he spoke. His authority was so great that his word was taken on any subject, be it politics or love. This was Slim, the jerkline skinner. His hatchet face was ageless. He might have been 35 or 50. His ear heard more than was said to him, and his slow speech had overtones not of thought, but of understanding beyond thought. His hands, large and lean, were as delicate in their action as those of a temple dancer. He smoothed out his crushed hat, creased it in the middle, and put it on. He looked kindly at the two in the bunkhouse.
"It's brighter than a bitch outside," he said gently. "Can't hardly see nothing in here. You the new guys?"
"Just come," said George.
"Gonna buck barley?"
"That's what the boss says." Slim sat down on the box across the table from George. He studied the solitaire hand that was upside down to him.
"Hope you get on my team," he said.
His voice was very gentle.
"I got a pair of punks on my team that don't know a barley bag from a blue ball. You guys ever bucked any barley?"
"Hell yes," said George. "I ain't nothing to scream about, but that big bastard there can put up more grain alone than most pears can." Lenny, who had been following the conversation back and forth with his eyes, smiled complacently at the compliment. Slim looked approvingly at George for having given the compliment. He leaned over the table and snapped the corner of a loose card.
"You guys travel around together?"
His tone was friendly. It invited confidence without demanding it.
"Sure," said George. "We kind of look after each other."
He indicated Lenny with his thumb.
"He ain't bright. Hell of a good worker, though. Hell of a nice fella, but he ain't bright. I knew him for a long time."
Slim looked through George and beyond him.
"Ain't many guys travel around together," he mused. "I don't know why. Maybe everybody in the whole damn world is scared of each other."
"It's a lot nicer to go around with a guy you know," said George. A powerful big stomach man came into the bunkhouse. His head still dripped water from scrubbing and dousing.
"Hi, Slim," he said.
Then he stopped and stared at George and Lenny.
"These guys just come," said Slim by way of introduction. "Glad to meet you," the big man said. "My name's Carlson."
"I'm George Milton. This here's Lenny Small."
"Glad to meet you," Carlson said again. "He ain't very small."
He chuckled softly at his joke.
"Ain't small at all," he repeated. "Meant to ask you, Slim. How's your bitch? I seen she wasn't under your wagon this morning."
"She slang her pups last night," said Slim. "9 of them. I drowned 4 of them right off. She couldn't feed that many."
"Got 5 left, huh?"
"Yep, 5. I kept the biggest."
"What kind of dogs you think they're gonna be?"
"I don't know," said Slim. "Some kind of shepherds, I guess. That's the most kind I seen around here when she was in heat."
Carlson went on.
"Got 5 pups, huh? Gonna keep all of them?"
"I don't know. Have to keep them a while so they can drink Lulu's milk,"
Carlson said thoughtfully.
"Well, looky here, Slim. I've been thinking. That dog of Candy's is so goddamn old, can't hardly walk. Stinks like hell, too. Every time he comes into the bunkhouse, I can smell him for 2-3 days. Why don't you get Candy to shoot his old dog and give him one of them pups to raise up? Can smell that dog a mile away. Got no teeth, damn near blind, can't eat. Candy feeds him milk. He can't chew nothing else."
George had been staring intently at Slim. Suddenly a triangle began to ring out outside, slowly at first, and then faster and faster until the beat of it disappeared into one ringing sound. It stopped as suddenly as it had started.
There she goes, said Carl Carlson.
Outside there was a burst of voices as a group of men went by. Slim stood up slowly and with dignity.
You guys better come while there's still something to eat. Won't be nothing left in a couple of minutes.
Carlson stepped back to let Slim precede him, and then the two men went out the door. Lenny was watching George excitedly. George rumpled his cards into a messy pile.
Yeah,
said George.
I heard him, Lenny. Lenny. I'll ask him.
A brown and white one.
Lenny cried excitedly. Come on, let's get dinner. I don't know whether he got a brown and white one. Lenny didn't move from his bunk.
You ask him right away, George, so he won't kill no more of him.
Sure, come on now, get up on your feet. Lenny rolled off his bunk and stood up. And the two of them started for the door. Just as they reached it, Curly bounced in,
You seen a girl around here?
He demanded angrily. George said coldly, About half an hour ago, maybe.
What the hell was she doing?
George stood still, watching the angry little man. He said insultingly. She said, "Dead. She was dead. She was looking for you, for you." You. Curly seemed really to see George for the first time. His eyes flashed over George.
measured his reach, 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 his reach,